morning, everyone. My name is Lena, and this is Morning Minutes. So we are in episode 4 in a study of the book of Colossians. I've called Focused, and we are now in Colossians 1, 9 through 10. I've titled today's episode, How to Pray for Each Other. And Paul is going somewhere with this introduction. He's started off, we've been looking at how the Christian life impacts us, why it's so amazing. And now he says this in verses 9 through 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So remember that Paul is leading to teach this church at Colossae about the doctrine of Christ. And the focus of this, where he's going with this intro, is to Jesus. And so he's focused on that, but he's sort of, you know, warming them up. And so he starts by telling them, man, I've heard of your faith. You're doing good. This gospel that's changing you is changing one another, growing, bearing fruit. And now he says, since we heard, we haven't ceased to pray for you. Now, praying for one another is one of those gifts of the Christian life. We can take each other and our needs to the Lord, and we know that we have an intercessor who will do something about the situations that we're in, and he'll give us, what should we pray for? I was going to say to give us wisdom in those things, but we're going to look at, well, what are the things we should pray for one another? Because often I go to sit down to pray for someone, and I'm like, God, can you please be with them today and help them? And it's like, crickets, and then you're like, well, the Holy Spirit makes an intercession. It's okay if I don't know a lot about what to say, but the New Testament in particular, and all through the Bible, but particularly Paul, does a great job in many of his letters to say, here's how to pray for one another. Remember, we want to be focused on Jesus, but we also want to be focused on how to minister to one another. That is why this series is called Focused. And so how do you pray for one another? Number one, when you pray for others, pray for a deeper knowledge of God's will. Don't you need that in your life today? I know I do. I need to know. There are so many situations in my life right now where I think, man, I tell the Lord, Lord, I need direction. I need to know your will on this. And the submitted, surrendered Christian, the Christian who's walking in faith and obedience and love and hope, is a Christian who says, God, not my will, but yours be done. But practically speaking, you're like, well, what does that look like? Well, pray for one another in that. See, only God can increase someone's wisdom and understanding, and only prayer can move people to real action. And so this is what Paul's praying for them. He says, this is what I'm praying for you. I haven't stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's like, I want you to know God's will for you. In other epistles, he prays the same thing, that the eyes of our heart will be open. And so are you praying for one another for this? Many of you say, you're praying for me. Pray for this for me, that God will give me, will fill me with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here's another. When you pray for others, pray for maturity and growth, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He's praying for spiritual maturity and growth. Right? This is good. Now, how do you grow? You're growing because you're in God's word. You're listening to what he's given you in his word, and you're being changed by submitting your life to the word of God. And so we know that, but now you could, sometimes it feels like a lonely road. Well, imagine someone to email, not imagine, to email someone today and tell them, man, I'm praying that you grow in insight and the knowledge of the word and Christ. And so a mature Christian becomes more like Jesus with time. If you're wondering, well, what does a mature Christian look like? What is Paul praying for? Well, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that we would become more Christ-like with time, that we would be pleasing to the Lord. And by the way, to be more Christ-like means you are pleasing to the Lord. That the two go hand in hand. He says that I'm not making this up. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you grow in the knowledge of God and walk in a manner worthy of him, you become pleasing to him. And he loves you regardless, but you're pleasing to him. Remember that that God the Father spoke over Jesus after the baptism of Jesus. He says, here's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why was he pleased in him? Because he was walking in obedience. And Christ, of course, did that perfectly. And he told us to follow in the same model. And that's the hope of this epistle, is that we would do that. And then a mature Christian grows in the knowledge of God's character. He says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you know God, the more you know God, the more stable you become. Like if you believe and you know and you see the character trait that God is good, he's always good, then when you are tempted to believe that he's not because things are hard in your life, you discount the lie that you're believing because you know he's good. That's who he is. And that's the prayer for maturity to one another, that we be so stable in the knowledge of God's character that nothing will move us. So when you pray for others, pray for maturity maturity and growth. Pray for a deeper knowledge of God's will. And then when you pray for others, pray for a more consistent obedience to God and his ways. We've talked about this even in the last few minutes about what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Well, you go, man, that's hard. I know it's hard. There are temptations that come our way. There are distractions that come our way. There are so many, you know, it's false beliefs that come into our mind. And so pray for consistent obedience to God and his ways. The fruit of obedience grows deeper with time. The fruit of obedience is made possible by prayer. The Spirit of God helps us as we pray. And when we don't know what to pray, he makes intercession for us. But let's be people and brothers and sisters who love one another enough to pray for one another. And the fruit of obedience is displayed in every practical way. And he says, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. This is practical Christianity. And say, how? What kind of good works? We'll get into it as we get into chapter 3, where it becomes much more practical. But here we're leading up again to some of those doctrinal issues that we're going to address. And man, I hope these two verses literally have blessed you today. Why don't you take time and read today from chapter 1, verse 1 until verse 10. And really read through verse 14. You'll be ready for tomorrow as well. I love you guys. Hey, it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope you have a great day. And know this, I am praying for you.